Good morning. Good morning. My name is Steve. I'm part of the lead team here. For anybody who I've not met before, it is wonderful to have you here with us today, here in the room and online. So we've just been asking that question. I want you to keep that in your minds for a moment, and I want us just to take a moment just to breathe. Can everybody breathe? And let's just pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have now just to come around your word. And God, we thank you for that authority that we have because of you, Jesus. And so today, in this moment, right now, in the authority of the name of Jesus, we just speak your peace. Peace over our lives today. Peace over every aspect of our lives. And we just ask now, in this moment, Holy Spirit, would you just come and speak to us and reveal yourself to us? And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the question that we're asking is, what is one thing that you would like to change about the community you live in? Does anybody have I don't need a long kind of answer. Just does anybody have like a couple of words they want to shout out at me? About the question, not anything else in general. More love? Change the fashion in your community. In your house or in your community? Okay. Wonderful. Did I hear salvation? Yeah. Anyone else? Sorry? Wonderful. You want a coffee? Oh, a Black Sheep coffee shop. Okay, good. Good. Sorry, I thought you just told me you wanted a coffee, Alyssa. The reason why we're asking that question is because we're in a series at the moment called Becoming More Like Jesus. And the reason why we're in this series is because our mission as a church is to become more like Jesus. And then our vision as a church is that we want to be a church who are growing spiritually, living generously, and impacting our communities. And so this week, we arrive at that third part, which is impacting our communities. And so we're asking this question together. What does it mean for us to be impacting our communities? I want to tell you two quick stories. So for the last couple of, for the last few years, for a while now, we've had a gang roaming around our streets in the community that I live in. They stop the traffic. They make a lot of noise. They leave a mess. And they refuse to move on when it's politely suggested that they do. Now, despite it being really dangerous, I, for the benefit of this preach, decided to get a photo of this gang. Here they are. It's coming. It's not me. Have we lost it? We're having some big tech issues today. So if you all turn around and look up there, can you see where it says current slide? You will see a flock of geese. A flock of geese that have been terrorizing the estate that I live on. Now this gaggle have caused absolute chaos in our community. Now if they could speak, they'd probably say, well, we were here first. But they are impacting our community, but not in a helpful way. Story number two. Now let me tell you about Dave. Dave is... Well, there's the geese. Okay. We can move on from the geese now. Thank you. They're terrorizing me even now, right here in this moment. Let me tell you my second story. Let me tell you about Dave. Now, Dave is a passionate plogger. Can you say plogger? Now, a plogger is somebody who likes jogging and picking up litter. That is what it means to be a plogger. Any ploggers in the room? No? Okay. Every Sunday for years now in our community, you'll spot him on his jog early in the morning with a cart, with bin bags, and his litter picker. Come rain or shine, he's in our community, collecting other people's rubbish. Now, his consistency has made the streets of the community that I live in cleaner and kinder for everyone. Two pictures of community life. One obstructs and causes chaos. The other restores and brings life. As we look at our vision together today, I want you to keep those stories in your mind as we look at what it means to be impacting our communities. Today, if you're taking notes, it's a good thing to take notes in church. I want you to write this down. The call today, are you writing it down? The call is to be more like Dave and less like a goose. Okay, you got that. The call today is to be more like Dave and less like a goose. Now, many people will never see what Dave does. He goes out early on a Sunday morning. It's quiet when he's out there. But they would definitely notice the difference if he wasn't doing it. Impacting our communities at times will be discreet. It will go unnoticed. And at times, it won't always be appreciated. But the impact remains. Today, we're going to look at how Jesus sent us as his followers. If you are a follower of Jesus, we're going to see how Jesus sent us to be his ambassadors into our communities and how we can follow his example in the places that we live. So we're going to go back in time together. Could you all do something for me? Could you close your eyes? And I want you in this moment just to imagine that you are one of those first disciples of Jesus. Pick any of them. You can choose to be one of them today, just not Judas because he's not in this part of the story anymore. Okay, you chosen one? You're imagining that you're like them right now. It's just after the resurrection. And a couple of you have seen an empty tomb if you've chosen to be Peter or John. And then there's Mary Magdalene, and she says Jesus is alive, but none of you have actually seen him yet. You can open your eyes, by the way. You're confused, and you're scared. After everything that has happened, your leader, your teacher, your rabbi, your role model, this man who you've come to love deeply, has been betrayed, and you've all, I hate to say it, but you've deserted him in some way. This is the disciples now, okay, not you. And maybe in this moment, you don't know what to make of what Mary's told you, that Jesus is alive. Maybe there's this tiny hope within you that you'll get to see Jesus again. Or maybe you're too wounded to believe. Maybe you are terrified that when Jesus comes back and sees you, will he really welcome me back after I deserted him? And that's the mood, that's the tone, that's the scene I want to set as we read together John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, we're going to read verses 19 to 23. They'll come up on the screen. It says this, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So, our group of fearful disciples, here's where we find them post-resurrection. Where are they? They've locked themselves away. They are locked away out of fear. They'd seen, as we said, their leader arrested, beaten, crucified, and they were terrified about what might come next for them. And I wonder if that's something of a picture of our communities and our society in some way right now. I wonder if that feels familiar, maybe to some of you in here today, because we live in a world of anxiety, a world of loneliness, a world of division, and a world with lots of violence in it. And so many people in different ways, like the disciples, are locked away. Afraid to reach out, afraid to be vulnerable, afraid of being hurt. And into that environment, Jesus does as he does in this passage that we've read, and he shows up and he walks into fear. He walks into those different states in our society today, and he says, "Peace be with you." I want you to turn to somebody next to you and just say, "Peace be with you." When Jesus arrives into this locked room, we don't know how he gets through that locked door, but he does, and he appears. And he appears into that place of fear. What does he do? He doesn't start by reminding the disciples of their failures, of the fact that they had deserted him. He doesn't say to Peter, "Peter, remember when you said that you would never leave me? Remember when you said you would always be there? Remember when you said that you would defend me and that nobody would be able to arrest me and kill me?" He didn't start with that. He did not say that. He didn't start with those accusations. He said, "Peace be with you." In this place where the disciples had abandoned him and denied him, what we see is that Jesus meets them and he gives them his peace and his presence. And I want to say today that impacting our communities begins with the presence of Jesus, with Jesus meeting people where they are at, without accusation, and offering his peace. There are so many people in our world today who do good things. Many charities and causes that help people. So many amazing sacrificial people. People like Dave the Plogger. But the thing that defines us as the church, the thing that defines us as followers of Jesus, is that we impact our communities through the presence and peace of Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples this phrase, he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Jesus says that to us today. As the Father has sent him to this earth, as God stepped down into our world, now Jesus says, "I am sending you." As his followers, we are sent. Let's look at that first part together though. What does it mean that Jesus was sent into this world? Before Jesus sends us, he reminds us that he was sent. And when Jesus was sent by the Father, when we look through Scripture, we see that he moved around society. He moved around his communities in different ways. And so we're going to look to him as our example. We're going to focus on three verbs today. See, serve, and save. See, serve, and save. The first one, Jesus came to see. Jesus had an extraordinary ability to see people. And I mean to really see people. To look beyond those external needs and issues and to see into their hearts. He noticed the overlooked and the marginalized in society. Let me give you some examples from Scripture. You've got the woman at the well, who has been through countless relationships, isolation. You've got the man on the road to Jericho who is crying out for help. You've got the leper who has been ostracized by society, the widow, the tax collector. It's the people that no one else had time for. I remember as a young child being in a shopping center, a bit like the Trafford Center if you've ever been. And I got lost. I didn't know where my family were. And what really was probably just seconds, maybe minutes, felt like hours in that moment as I was fearful and lost. And then came the moment when my parents saw me and they made eye contact with me and they called out my name. They'd seen me in my distress and they'd found me. You know, that's what it's like with Jesus. Jesus sees us in our pain. He sees us in our fear, in our loneliness. He sees our doubts, our addictions, our hidden grief. And he sees us and he cares for us deeply. Do you know that truth today? Do you know that to be Jesus? Do you know that's who he is? That he sees you today and he knows you by name and he knows every detail of your life and he loves you. And he speaks over your life today, "Peace be with you." We are seen by Jesus. And then he sends us in order to see others with his eyes. Maybe I wonder today, some of us might need a little kind of vision check to visit the opticians of heaven. Because we're not always seeing people how Jesus sees them. Maybe we need a new lens prescription today in order to see people in the way that Jesus truly sees us. Holy Spirit, we pray right now in this moment, would you give us the grace and compassion to see people how you see us? Jesus came to see. The second thing is that Jesus came to serve. The God who made everything stepped down from heaven to wash feet, to feed the hungry, to welcome strangers, and to sit with the outcasts. Now, service isn't just some kind of add-on to Jesus' life. It's who he is, to the point that he laid down his life for us. We live in a culture that really is often shaped by individualism and convenience. The world says, "What can you do for me?" But Jesus' kingdom says this: "What could I do for others? How could I help others in my community?" And Jesus set that amazing example for us in coming to serve others. So what might that look like today in your life? Think about it this week. What does it look like for you to serve others in your community in some way? Jesus came to see, to serve, and he came to save. Jesus came to reconcile. He came to forgive us. He came to restore humanity into relationship with the Father. He came to offer new life. This is good news today. It's the most profound part of his mission, because many people, as we've said, in this world, they see, they serve, but they can't save. This is what stands out Jesus from anyone else in all of history and will always make him unique. You see, as followers of Jesus, we don't have the power to save people. But we can point people to the person who does save. We can point people to Jesus and tell them about his gospel, about his truth, about his hope, about his love, about his forgiveness. And as we've sung today, we carry the name and the authority of Jesus. And so we can go into our communities and we can speak out his compassion. We can pray for our communities. We can offer forgiveness to people around us instead of holding back our forgiveness and being resentful. We can invite people into that story of new life. Jesus came to see, to serve, and to save. But then he said this. He said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I am sending you." And when Jesus sent out his first disciples, whether that was back there in the locked room or as he sends us out today as his followers, it should really shape how we live in our communities. But what does that actually look like in a world which, if we're honest, is anxious, is divided, and it's hurting? I think Jesus gives us the answer with these four simple but powerful words as he steps into the fear of the disciples and he says, "Peace be with you." That is the message that we have for our communities today. And that is a really powerful message that we can take into our communities. It's the peace and it's the presence of Jesus that transforms this group of fearful disciples into people that would go out and change the world that they live in. People who are no longer bound by fear to the point that they are locked away, hiding away in their community. People that would go on to have a profound impact on their communities. In some of Jesus' most famous words, in his most famous recorded sermon, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they will be called children of God." As followers of Jesus, we are called to be peacemakers. We are called to be people of peace in an anxious, divided, and hurting world. Let's very quickly break down these three areas. How can we be people of peace in an anxious world? Anxiety looks different, doesn't it, for everybody? But as we look around our world, it's everywhere. People feeling lonely or cut off. Parents who are juggling the pressures of work life and raising a young family. Young people who are under constant pressure to fit in. Many of us worrying about bills or job security. We can all flick through our phones and see bad news after bad news after bad news. There are the constant demands on our time. And it shows up often perhaps as sleeplessness or short tempers or constant comparison or isolation or panic attacks or overworking to escape reality. We doom scroll, we medicate, we retreat, we hurt others out of our pain, we break down. And into that today, Jesus steps in and he says, peace be with you. And so if you're in that place in some way today, I want you to hear those words right now. Breathe. Peace be with you. Breathe in his peace right now in this moment. Experience his peace. And then as followers of Jesus, we have that message to take into our world that is anxious. We have that hope that we can live out in our own lives. Maybe some of us need to learn what it is just to slow down and to spend some unhurried time with Jesus in order to receive his peace. Slowing down and receiving the peace of Jesus is against the ways of this world. The ways of this world just wants to hurry, 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 on to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. I think some of us today in the room need to hear, peace be with you right now. Peace be with you. Slow down. Experience the peace of Jesus. And I believe in turn, as we experience his peace, we become carriers, we become peacemakers into our communities in an anxious world. The second area is that we live in a divided world. And I don't want to add to this, but I've got an illustration. And before I do this illustration, please remember, it has its limitations, okay? Okay. I want to gauge your reactions. So can you kind of be extrovert as you can. I want your reactions, please, to these props, okay? Okay. It's good. I'd show you the other side, but it has some filthy language on the back. Something about being champions or something. Has anybody got any hand sanitizer? I want you to, actually, could you give that back to Jake before I forget? Thank you. I can't be near it. I want you to see what just happened there. Some strong feelings either way, right? We had some cheers. We had some groans. Instantly, sides were taken. Some of you are repulsed by both of those shirts that you just saw. And you know, as we look at life, that's how tribal we can get, isn't it? About politics, about the news that we've read, about social media. All of these things, they amplify tribes. They amplify everything until we choose a side, because it feels like the only option we have is to choose aside. Now, I want to make a case for something here today that I think now, notice that in that moment, apart from the sympathy that was received, there wasn't much of a reaction. Now, if Sean had been here today, there would have been a reaction. That was Stoke City. There was no chants, there were no boos. There was just, for some of you, just a kind of neutral shrug. Oh, like, I think there was some pity in the room. That's kind of not the image I wanted to have here, but the image that I want is that it doesn't mean that to take sides or to live in this world, it doesn't mean that we don't have an allegiance and we don't have our opinions. But I think we need to be a bit more like Stoke City. We need to be a bit more peaceful at times in this world. We need to be a bit more like Jesus is the point I'm trying to make here. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to show up with his presence and to bring peace. Not to fan the flames or score points in every argument, but to listen, to love, and to heal divides. Now, you'll still stand for what's right, but you do it as a peacemaker. Talking as neighbors with our neighbors, not shouting as opponents. Treating one another as neighbors, to love our neighbors, not as opponents. And we'll see how well I'm doing that at 6:30 tonight. If you're not aware, it's Liverpool versus United today. A kingdom divided. But that is what the kingdom of heaven, Jesus' kingdom, looks like. A people who choose peace over being in a tribe. A people who choose presence, the presence of Jesus, over posturing against things. We are living in a cultural moment right now that is breeding fear and division. Whether you're on the right or you're on the left, division is everywhere. But we are called, if we are followers of Jesus, to be peacemakers. Now, that doesn't mean burying your heads and not caring about certain things in this world. It doesn't mean pretending nothing's wrong or simply just picking a side and then we're all in. It means we listen. It means we learn. And it means we love. It means we become a community of hope that won't write people off by labeling them as woke or far right. It means we model real community that is prepared to cross over the divides that we see in society. Because from the start, we see that the church was deeply intercultural, across all ethnicities, across all class in society. And you know, we need to do the hard work of rediscovering what that looks like today. We need to be a city on a hill. We need to be the salt and light for our communities that represent the kingdom of heaven. And that means not just standing up for what feels wrong at times, but it means standing up for what is right. We have to challenge those who thrive in our society on fear and anger and division. And we have to challenge that with a better vision. And I want to argue today that that better vision is the kingdom of heaven, which is one of peace, it's one of hope, it's one of life, it's one of love. God's grace doesn't lead to pointing fingers. It doesn't lead to angry chanting or raising flags supposedly in the name of Christianity. It doesn't mean that we can't have concerns over policies around immigration, for example. But if those concerns lead to prejudice against people who don't look or sound or behave like us, that's discrimination. That's racism. That's xenophobia. That's being tribal. That's being hateful. And we have to, as followers of Jesus, call that out today, because that does not represent the kingdom of heaven, church. The kingdom of heaven is one of love, it's one of peace, it's one of loving our neighbors. And if those things that we're standing against don't actually look like us loving our neighbors, then I'm sorry, but that is not what it means to follow Jesus. The cross that many people are clinging to today on flags is used to justify a false gospel. One that's been misinterpreted, because the cross that Jesus died on was meant to unite us and set us free and not divide us. And the cross of Jesus Christ actually, rather than throwing stones at others, calls us to look within our own hearts. It calls us to look at the hardness in our own lives before we throw stones at others. And it calls us to seek peace in a divided world, as we have received the peace of Jesus in our lives. Remember, our ultimate allegiance isn't a political party, it's not a nation, is not a particular leader, it's to the kingdom of heaven. Psalm 37 says this, it says, look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. Thirdly and finally, we live in a hurting world. How do we be peacemakers in our hurting world? There's so much pain, isn't there, in the world that we live in. And that's nothing new. We live in a fallen world where we're faced with the realities of sin and the mess that comes with how fragile we are as humans. Many are suffering because of health, chronic illness, disability, terminal diagnosis, the quiet exhaustion that many are living in as carers in our society. Many relationships are frayed, marriages that have broken, families that are split, friendships that have failed. There's poverty and there's the stress, as we said, of not knowing how the next bill will be paid. There's addiction that steals dignity and hope. There is grief that is freshly raw for people in our community today, and an old ache for others. There are people who are fleeing war and persecution in our communities, who are separated from their loved ones without knowing when or if they will ever be together again. People who are living alone and people who are living invisible. Children in our communities growing up with hurts that no child should bear. And beneath many of these hurts are deeper injustices and systems that keep people trapped in this continuous cycle. All of that pain is real. And as we said, it's close, I know, to home to many in our immediate community here as a church. And it's into that brokenness that Jesus steps in. And he doesn't offer a quick slogan and say, just chant this over and over, you'll be okay. He offers his presence. He offers to be with us. He offers his healing. He offers his justice. And he offers his restoration. He sees the bruised. He sits with the lonely. And he enters into the suffering of our hurting world to be with us. And because we, as followers of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus today, because we've been met by him, then we are sent to be his hands and feet in a world that hurts. And as he spoke his presence into his that room of frightened friends, we too are sent into our communities with that same spirit today to bring peace into our streets, our homes, and our neighborhoods, to impact our communities with the presence and peace of Jesus. We are called to enter today into our communities, whatever that might look like, your family, your workplace, the school that you're in, the college that you're in, the university that you're in. We are called today to enter into them and through our words and our actions to live out peace be with you. I'm going to invite the band back. When we keep looking to Jesus, our mission as a church is to become more like Jesus. And as we do that, as we look to Jesus as our example, we see that actually he faced opposition from many different fronts. Opposition came in so many different ways, but his message was always this: blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.